Instruction of those who had little preparation for heaven. At this moment, a swift messenger approached my father and spoke a few low words.
"Yes, I will go at once," he replied, and waving his hand in adieu, departed with the angelic guide.
My mother said, "He is called usually to those who enter life with little preparation, that which on earth is called deathbed repentance. You know what wonderful success he always had with winning souls to Christ, and these poor spirits need to be taught from the very beginning. They enter the spirit life in its lowest phase, and it is your father's pleasant duty to lead them upwards step by step. He is devoted to his work, and greatly beloved by those he thus helps. He allows me often to accompany him and labor with him, and that is such a great pleasure to me. And do you know," she said with a look of happiness, "I never forget anything now." It had been her great burden for some years before her death that her memory failed her sadly, and I could understand and sympathize with her present delight. Solicitude for those still on earth. A little later, my sister drew me tenderly aside and whispered, "Tell me of my little boy, my precious son. I often see him, but we are not permitted to know as much of the earth life as we once believed we should. The Father's wisdom metes out to us knowledge as he sees best, and we are content to wait upon his time for more. All you can tell us would not be denied me. Is he surely coming to me sometime? Shall I hold him again in my arms, my darling boy?" "I'm sure, yes, I'm sure you will. Your memory is very precious to him." Then I told her all I could recall of the son with whom she parted while he was yet a child, now grown to a man's estate, honored and loved, with home and wife and son to comfort and bless him. "Then I can wait," she said. "If he is sure to come to me at last when his earthly work is done, bringing his wife and son, now I shall love them too." Meeting my brother and other relatives. At this moment I felt myself encircled by tender arms, and a hand was laid gently on my eyes. "Who is it?" someone whispered softly. "Oh, I know the voice, the touch." "Dearest, dearest, kneel," I cried, and turning quickly threw my arms around the neck of my only brother. He gathered me warmly to his heart. Then, in his old-time playful way, he lifted me quite off my feet in his strong arms. After some words, he said, "But come now, they've had you long enough for the first visit. The rest of us want you for a while. Mother, I may have them both for a little time, may I not? Or will you come too?" turning to my mother with a caressing touch. "I cannot go, dear boy. I must be here when your father returns. Take your sisters. It is a blessed sight to see you all together again." "Come then," he said, and each taking one of my hands, we went out together. After a short walk, we stopped abruptly in front of a dainty house, built of the finest polished woods. It was beautiful, both in architecture and finish. I paused a moment on the wide veranda to examine a vine wreathed about the columns of highly polished wood, and my brother laughingly said to my sister, "She is the same old sis. We will not get much good out of her until she has learned the name of every flower, vine, and plant in heaven." Stepping inside a lovely vestibule, out of which opened from every side spacious rooms, he called softly, "Alma!" At once from one of these a fair woman approached us. "My dear child," I said, "it does not seem possible. You were but a child when I last saw you." "She is still her father's girl," said my brother with a fond look. "She and Carrie, whom you never saw, make a blessed home for me. Where is your sister, daughter?" "She is at the great music hall. She has a very rich voice that she is cultivating," Alma said, turning to me. "We were going to find our aunt when she returned," she added. Then they showed me their lovely home, perfect and charming in every detail. When we came upon a side veranda, I saw we were so near an adjoining house that we could easily step from one veranda to another. My brother lifted me lightly over the intervening space. "There is someone here who you will wish to see." The house we entered was almost identical in construction and finish with that of my brother Neil.
and as we entered, three persons came eagerly forward to greet me. It was my father's sister, always a favorite aunt, with her son and his wife. How we did talk and cling to one another and ask and answer questions. It is so nice to have Dr. Neal so near to us. We are almost one household, as you see. All felt we must be together. It is indeed, I answered, although you no longer need him in his professional capacity. No, thanks to the Father, but we need him quite as much in other ways. I think I am the one to be grateful, said my brother. But, sister, I promised Frank that you should go to your own room. He thought it was wise you should be left alone for a while. Shall we go now? Then my brother went with me to my own home, and with a loving embrace left me at the door of my room. Once within, I lay down upon my couch to think over the events of this wonderful day. I forgot all else, and Christ's peace enfolding me like a mantle, I rested.